Welcome to Social Media Know-How, the podcast featuring the greatest minds and brands in the world of social and digital marketing. And now, your host, founder and CEO of Link Humans, Jorgen Sundberg.
Hey, sons. Vaysan here at Laggett. Many thanks for tuning into Social Media Know-How, your favorite social media podcast coming out of Finchley, North London, that is. Of course, this podcast is brought to you by the good people at Link Humans, or the good humans, I should say. I'm your host, Jorgen Sundberg, and this podcast is here to help you improve your social marketing as well as digital marketing, because let's face it, they overlap. Coming to you from a sunny Link Humans Global HQ Towers. Well, it's not sunny in the actual towers, but outside, because I think spring is here. And it's the very end of March 2016, and I hope you had a nice Easter break and that you managed to stay away from Twitter, at least during family meals. Who knows? Now, why is content marketing essential? Isn't there too much content marketing out there? And how do you manage to keep it human while still using automation and technology? I'm speaking to Chris Marr today, who is the leader, some would say godfather, of content marketing in Scotland. That's right, we're heading north of the border. And as we're still in March, I'll announce the winner of our podcast review competition next week. So that means there's a small window of opportunity. You still have the chance to get this bottle by leaving a review on iTunes. That's a bottle of champagne, by the way. So I will announce the winner next week, and then I will shut up about this forevermore, I promise. Right, and I put the call out before, and I really need your help here. Can you please recommend female social media people, experts and so on, that I ought to interview for this podcast? Now, there's nothing wrong with men, talking to one today, but I like to keep this somewhat balanced. And just like our SM London Live conference that we hold in November every year, we aim to have 50% women that's in the speaker lineup. It doesn't always work out, but that's the aim of us. And I'd like to have a similar sort of ratio on this podcast. So please, please, please help me. If you're a woman, help me. And if you know women, which is very likely, help me as well. So if you want to get in touch, I'd love to hear from you. I'm reachable at jorgen@linkhumans.com and on various social networks. Right, so before we roll the interview with Chris, let's have a look at my little tip of the week. Okay, right, so here is a challenge you might have. When you publish an article, or when you published an article maybe 6 or 12 months ago, you'd quite like to know how many shares that article has had over time. And recently, Twitter removed the share count from all the plugins and so on that are on sites. So you don't really know how many people have shared your post or article. Now, there are a couple of tools which help you with this. One is called Share-O-Matic, I think, but the better one is called BuzzSumo. So you might know BuzzSumo from a content discovery platform. And actually, I interviewed Steve Rayson on this podcast last year, and he spoke at our conference. He was a male speaker, along a few female ones. However, this app is completely free, and it plugs into Chrome. So it's a Chrome extension. And basically, when you're on a website, on a page, then it will you click on it? So I'm going to click on it right now. Then it tells you how many total shares that post has had or that page has had. And that goes by Facebook interactions, shares, likes and comments, Twitter shares. So it does give you all the Twitter shares, which Twitter don't actually normally give out. And that's because BuzzSumo have a deal with Twitter. Also LinkedIn shares, Pinterest pins, and then Google pluses, I suppose, in case people are still plussing. So have a look at that. It's a BuzzSumo Chrome extension, and it's completely free. And I'll put a link to it in the show notes, but you could probably search for it in the Chrome extension store. Okay, with that, it's time to transition to this week's interview, all about keeping it human in content marketing.
Chris Marr, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. It's really good to be here. Thanks for inviting me onto your show today. Really pleased to be here.
Yeah, my pleasure. Tell us about the Content Marketing Academy and what you do there.
Sure, absolutely. Thanks very much for asking and giving me a legitimate platform to talk about myself and the business. It's really cool. The Content Marketing Academy, we're based in Scotland. We're based on the east coast of Scotland in a place called Fife. I'm not sure if anyone's heard of that before, but we're based here. But we also work in Edinburgh and the main cities in Scotland, Dundee as well. And we're really here to, you know, my role as a director, I created this. This is my baby, I guess. And it's kind of, you know, it's grown over the last sort of 2.5 years. We're almost 3 years old, actually. And we've kind of, I don't know, we've got more and more niche. We've niched down, I guess, over the course of time into this thing called content marketing. Instead of being general marketing, really getting heavily involved into content. So, yeah, we do lots of things here just to give you a sort of flavor. We do, I guess, at the heart of what we do is education, right? We're trying to teach people about content marketing, get them involved in content and inspire and motivate, but also create something tangible from this thing and make sure that they're getting business results from it too. So a lot of that is workshops and seminars and the content that we create ourselves, like podcasts and things like that. But also we run our conference every year where we bring speakers in and we try to, you know, give people access to people that they wouldn't normally have access to. And we also do this sort of traditional agency type stuff as well. So we have a membership organization at the foundation of what we do. So we're really trying to put content marketing on the map here in Scotland. That's really our purpose, to sort of change the way that businesses and organizations communicate forever. That's our sort of mission, basically.
Great. And you're basically the godfather of content marketing in Scotland.
Okay. Yep. You can say that. I can't say that. But yeah, okay, let's go with that.
Yeah, great. Okay, so Godfather, tell me this. Content marketing has taken some serious flack, some criticism recently. I think mainly around the fact that there's so much content going out. Can you remind us, why is content marketing essential?
Yeah, there's loads of reasons. It's a great question, but like I think we have to think... Yes, there's a lot of content out there, but you've got to think about why there's a lot of content out there. There is demand for certain types of content. Like, people are looking for this. People are consuming more and more content every single day. And if you as an organization aren't creating content, then you know, it's... You don't exist. You don't exist out there. If you aren't creating content, people can't find what they're looking for. You're not there. It's important to think about the long-term value of content marketing, to engage, to start a conversation, to build trust, to be found. The huge value and the business benefits around that are incredible. There's loads and loads of reasons why we need it. Think about, you know, the biggest case, I think, for content marketing, or part of the business case for content marketing, is the zero moment of truth. And I think, you know, listeners have probably heard this before, in that 70% of the buying decision is made online before first contact. People are spending time researching. They want to be educated buyers. They're not in buying mode. You know, they're in research mode. They're getting that information from someone, right? They're getting their questions answered, their problems solved by content, blogs, podcasts, videos. And if you're not creating content and you're not serving them at a time when they're not ready to buy, or they don't even know who you are yet, then you're missing a massive trick. You're missing that 70%. You're missing that. You're not helping them to build. You're not helping to build that relationship and that trust. And that's where content marketing comes in. It's probably the single biggest, or the single best way to build trust with an audience, is through content. I don't think there's any other way really to do the same thing, to market a business really today. I think organizations have got away with shouting loud. You know, the louder you shout, basically, the more attention you get, and therefore the more customers you get. But content marketing is really a lot different than that. It's about creating content that people can find when they need it the most. And it's about creating better customers as well. It's not about just getting any customer. It's about getting the best customers for your business. And people do that through self-selection. They're reading your content and they decide if they want to buy from you and when they want to buy from you.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. I think buyers nowadays are better informed than ever. And there's so much choice out there. So yeah, they will definitely judge you by your content and what they can find about you.
Absolutely.
Now, so we've established it is super important. So why can't business owners find a time for social and for content marketing?
It's like the biggest excuse that you get is like, I don't have the time. And it could be, you know, they don't have the time to write a blog article. we get a much higher level than that even. It's like they don't even have the time to learn. You know, they don't even have the time to read a book or go to a conference or listen to a podcast or even educate themselves. Like, so we're up against it right away when we're trying to get people to think differently about how they communicate. So the reason that people don't have the time is because they don't value it, right? Mm-hmm. And it is the biggest excuse we get, but it's the adult equivalent of the dog ate my homework, right? It's literally just an excuse. And if people were to value it more and they had understood exactly how it works, then they would probably make the time. You have to make the time for anything. It's just like anything in life, really. You know, going to the gym, right? If you know and understand the importance of living a longer life and being healthy, then you're going to go to the gym 3-4 times a week, knowing that compounding effect over a long period of time is going to benefit you. It's the same thing with content marketing. The reason that they can't find the time, it's wrapped up in a lot of things, to be honest. Fear, you know, fear of new technology, fear of learning something new, fear of publishing their first blog article, fear of getting in front of a camera, fear of technology. And the only way to overcome any of that is really to actually do it. You know, to understand it, teach yourself, and then get some stuff out there, take some action, and understand how it all really works. And complacency as well, to be honest, that is a massive factor in business. It's just people with their head in the sand, not willing to accept that things are changing and that you need to be relevant, and, you know, just all of that stuff, to be honest. It's like, it's just so many barriers for, like, the biggest question we ask is, you know, what will prevent content marketing from working in your organization? Time, resources, complacency, getting buy-in from the team and the management, lack of strategy, lack of ideas for content. All of these things are massive barriers. So the only way really that business owners can get over all of that is, you know, get to a workshop, get to a conference, listen to podcasts like this, get the inspiration you need, and make it work, and just really prioritize in general marketing in your business, understanding that it's the single most important aspect in your business. It's the only thing that will differentiate you from your competition.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I think a lot of prospective clients that we've talked to, or current clients, they struggle to see that content marketing is a long-term play, that you won't see the benefits, this quarter or even next quarter. It's going to take a year or whatever. And then they fall back on advertising instead. And I feel that sometimes advertising is the price you pay for not being very popular.
Yeah, good. I like that. And you're right. You've picked up on the main points there. Absolutely. And I think that the biggest thing that really is the problem with content marketing is that usually when you're in a position to do it, it's not painful enough for you to change how you do things, right? So your business might be doing okay, right? Everything seems to be fine. The things we're doing seem to be working. Why should we do something different? You know? And it's not until people, like you said, that get into a point where they need more sales, they go into sales mode and advertising mode, and content marketing's lost at that point. You know, like you said, it's a long-term play, but you can get results quickly, but it's just understanding what those results are, getting your expectations set correctly, really. Yeah,
it's very hard to get a buying client from just writing a blog post, but, you know, you get someone into your funnel, perhaps, and create awareness, and that's going to take
exactly. Yeah, you might get a lot of readers, for example, and maybe some social sharing going on. That's good. That's good user indicators that something's working, and that's enough sometimes to sort of say, look, let's try a little bit more, and let's try and get the buy-in from the people in the organization to make this happen.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you about letting go of your content. So what does that mean, and why is it important?
Yeah, so I guess this is a thing that's on my mind a lot just now, and I seem to be speaking about it with our clients a lot too, and that I guess, you know, I'll give you maybe one or two examples here. We were recently having a conversation with one of our members, and she was talking about email marketing. What she wanted basically was for her to write a little, you know, blurb about our new blog article, send it out by email to her audience, and get them to click through to the blog and read it. Right, and that, I don't know if that's really worked that well in the past anyway. And what she's concerned about is not just the open rate, but the click-through rate from those emails. And what we're starting to find is that, especially on mobile, people aren't clicking out of the app they're in or the the application that they're in to go to a different platform to read content. They're there. Like, so for example, if you're in your email, you might want to just read what you need to read in the email without clicking through to the article. Another good example of that is Facebook. we've noticed this as well, is that when I'm, and another reason this is becoming a priority for me is because I'm recognizing it in my own behavior as well. So when I'm on Facebook, I'm not clicking through to other people's blog articles, but I'd actually much rather just thumb my way down the article and I'll read it. I'll scan through it there. And if I want to read more, or if I want to, I can interact with the author right there and then as well. I can just add a comment, which is fantastic. So there's a lot of things to be said for letting go of your content. And the reason I'm saying letting go or unleash, this has kind of been inspired by Mark Schaefer a little bit in the recent conversations he's been having, is that not only is it I'm recognizing it in my own behavior, and the biggest challenge I think for all of us, especially, and I found this myself, is that I want traffic to my website. Yeah. I want to see clicks coming through from Facebook and LinkedIn and all these third party websites, but and social websites. But to be honest with you, it was hard anyway. It was really hard to get those referral links through, or to click through to the website. So what I'm finding is actually, when we say letting go, it's almost like you need to let go of the short term transactional data metrics. You know, the traffic to your website, and almost let go of the fact that you might never actually be able to track exactly how many people are reading your content, but knowing that if you can unleash it, in other words, get in front of people where they are right now and allow them to read it with ease, you know, without any friction, then they're more likely to read it. And the purpose of content, you know, is not to the sort of core purpose of content, the outcome is the results, the metrics, the traffic, but the core purpose is you obviously want people to read this piece of content you've spent loads and loads of time doing, and not only that, you want them to share it, you know. So I think that if we get back to the purpose of what we're trying to achieve, which is to change people, to inspire people, to entertain people, to educate people, then why are we putting barriers in place to stop them from getting to our content just because we want to see in our analytics that we've got, you know, more user sessions or more traffic? The website's still very, very important in this whole thing. It's just that it's been pushed back a little bit in where it fits in the funnel when people are consuming content. That's what we've been talking about or exploring just now, this idea of letting go of your content. I don't know if you're recognizing that in your own behavior.
Yeah, I suppose. I think there's some platforms where there will only be native engagement, I think. And Instagram is a really good
Instagram,
example.
Yeah.
There are no clickable links in Instagram unless you advertise. Well, there's the bio link. But what you want to do there is just go for awareness and so that people know who you are and what you do and all these bits, and then perhaps hit them with a link somewhere else or, again, sign up somewhere else. So, yeah, for sure. And I was going to ask you about what social and digital channels do you think work best for content marketing?
Yeah, that's a really a difficult question to answer in some respects, because they all work. You know, it's about working them. I think we get asked this all the time. It's people say something like, only go where your ideal client is, or only go to the platforms where your ideal clients are. And it's I get that. That makes a lot of sense, right? There's no point in going to a platform where your audience just aren't there. But if you take that out of the equation for a second, regardless of what platform you go to, you're going to have to work hard. You know, it doesn't matter which platform it is, you're going to have to work hard to build the audience. Why should people care that you're there, you know, to get the attention? So I think when it comes to platforms that work best for content marketing, depends on what you're thinking of. Content marketing to me is an approach. It's a philosophy of communication, not a thing that you do. It's the way that you do it. So you can take content marketing to any platform. And regardless of which platform you go to, you're going to have to work hard to earn the attention of your audience anyway. So I think for me personally, I get a lot of value of loads of different platforms. We're like social butterflies here at the Content Marketing Academy, and we're using Snapchat and Periscope and Blab and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and trying to spread, get ourselves involved in all of these platforms. Yes, they all work natively. They all have their different sort of the ways in which you use them, and you have to play to that. But at the same time, if you're going to any platform with the same approach, which might be to help or to educate or to inspire or motivate or whatever it might be, then that should be consistent across all the platforms anyway.
So if you you mentioned quite a lot of platforms there. If you had to choose one, you can only use one for the next 30 days, which one would it be?
Oh, God. you know what? I would choose to use, from a business perspective, that's a really tough question.
Yeah, for business.
I would use Snapchat right now.
Really? Wow, yeah. Okay.
I would go straight into there. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and the reason for that is just the ability to tell your story, and it's hugely engaging. Like it's like what social media should be. Like this ability to almost like get access to people. I've had huge value from Snapchat in the last sort of 4 weeks or so. It's just sort of exploding in a sort of more mature market in the business space as well. And it's opened up just a huge amount of opportunity. We're getting more recognition there. People can see more of our content there, and just this ability to tell your story throughout the day, this 24-hour period, it's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's a lot of engagement on there, which we've seen as well. So why do, I mean, this ties in really well with this question. Why do business people struggle to adapt new channels such as Snapchat or Instagram?
Yeah.
So how do they relate to personal branding as well?
Yeah. Okay. The question that we asked earlier about the whole fear and complacency and all that stuff, that applies again still. But I can give you a really good example of this. I was speaking to like a group of business owners, entrepreneurs last week. It was Friday, 4 o'clock in the evening. And part of my slide deck, I had a very basic slide deck, but slide two was my Snapchat code, my Snap code. And I was like, look, anyone on Snapchat kind of thing. And one person in the room was on Snapchat, didn't really use it that well. And these people are between 25 and 40, maybe something like that. So that marketplace where Snapchat is really exploding just now. And as soon as I put the Snap code on the screen, immediate sort of like half the people in the room were like, that's just for teenagers, you know, and that's just for...
Yeah.
Assumption one, assumption two, assumption three. That is the reason that, you know, to answer the question directly, that's the reason why most people aren't, you know, adapting to these new channels, why business people struggle to adapt to these new channels, is because they have these preconceived assumptions about why the platform wouldn't work for them. And what they need, it's a mindset or a mind that is set on something. And what I think business people really need to appreciate is the fact that they need to be a little bit more open to change. Like, for example, we go back sort of maybe 5 or 6 years ago, not even that long ago, really, and people were saying, I'll never use Facebook, or I'll never use an emoji in a text message, right? Or they'll never do X, Y, Z. And yet here we are, right? Doing all these things. So this is throughout the whole of, I don't know, the whole of life, I guess, that people do this. But that's really the biggest barrier, I think, for business people to sort of like grab early opportunities is the fact that they make an assumption about a platform before they even give it a chance to explore where the opportunities might be. That's the biggest thing that's against them. Even now with Facebook and Twitter, they make assumptions. You'll get this all the time, probably. I don't like Twitter. And it's like, why does that even matter, right? There's people there. You need to figure out how to communicate on these platforms. This is 2016. Like if you don't try and figure it out now, then what's going to be like in a year's time or in 2 years time? You're going to be really far behind, you know? So I think this assumption, this mindset of business people that think that something isn't for them, or they feel like they don't like it, or they have like a personal feeling towards something. And that is, you know, that's basically throttling their business opportunity or this ability to get their message out there.
Yeah. And I think, so I lecture at a business school here in London with, the students will be between 20 and 25. And I used to give out the hashtag and say, you know, follow us on Twitter and all these bits. But nowadays, nobody is on Twitter, but they're all on Snapchat and Instagram. There's a toss up between those two channels.
Cool.
And I personally, I'm not on Insta. I was on Instagram. I took myself off because I couldn't live up to my to doing a cool photo every day, I felt. And also, I don't have a Snapchat account, but we have a business accounts on both of them. And I think if you don't feel that the platform works for you personally, then at least have it as an organization account. And that's worked really well for us.
Yeah.
So I wanted to explore a bit more about the best ways to make an impact on social. You mentioned something about storytelling and 24 hours and so on.
Yeah, I guess there's like this whole, like a lot of people are, this is getting really interesting, I think, now, especially with like Snapchat on the scene. And it's kind of changing the way that, it's actually changing the way that I approach social in general. And what I mean by that is, you mentioned personal branding earlier, and I think we need to think seriously about how we give people access to us. you know, small businesses. So instead of like hiding behind your brand or whatever, how can you really, like the platforms are there. There's no doubt that the platforms are there. I mean, Periscope was here a year ago. We've got Snapchat, Blab, all Facebook Live. This ability to give people like direct access into our business, into our lives, whatever, our personal lives and our business lives. It's a whole, it's one and the same thing. And the ability to tell that story. So there's this whole personal branding piece where I think business owners, generally speaking, aren't really prepared to give people that kind of access to them, to their business. They want to hide behind their brand. They want to be at the end of an email or at the other end of a phone call, but they're not willing to kind of open up and tell the story. And I think that the businesses that are able to do that are going to build trust far, you know, to a level far greater than they would have before. And also they'll be able to do it a lot quicker as well. So if you know how business works, trust is everything, right? You buy from people that you know, like, and you trust people buy from people. Still today in 2016, that's the case. And it'll always be like that. But you can use these platforms, I think, to like really, really play that game, to really open that up and, you know, basically put your foot on the gas, giving people access through things like Snapchat and all this live broadcasting, looking at not just your own personal brand and business, but your the people within your business. If you've got a team of people there, thinking about how they could use these platforms to build their own personal brand and at the same time your business benefits. So it's almost like we're getting to this point where the businesses that are able to kind of like sort of like let go of this like restriction or that they're putting on themselves to kind of like be a brand and actually get the people involved. I think we've been here before, the humanization or the personalization of our brand. I think they're going to win going forward. I think they're going to have like, they've got the biggest, the best opportunity. And the ones that are kind of like sitting there and not embracing this change, I think they'll slowly just whittle away into the noise. Yeah, they'll probably still do okay in business, but they're not leveraging that opportunity to build that trust and that relationship with people.
Right. So what you're saying is I should reactivate my Instagram.
Yeah. Tell your story. I mean, that's the key thing is like people want to know about you probably. You know, you've got something, a story to tell there as well. And you've got your whole life there, your business, your personal life, an insight, you know, that like, for example, I'm trying to think of a good example of this. There's tons of examples, but I'm trying to think of like a good one. A really good example of this. And this is how it's affecting my whole marketing strategy at the moment about how I get my message out there. I sent an email out. This is, by the way, we talk about social media, right, as if it's a separate thing to every single other form of communication. It's, email is a form of social media in my eyes as well. It's a way to communicate with people and you go straight to them and you can have a conversation with them. And I sent an email out, I think last week or so, and it was probably the most personal email I've ever sent. I told a story. I told people how I felt about it. There was sadness. There was emotion. And then I sort of like brought it into business sense and sort of like gave a bit of advice around how people need to open up and be more personable in their communications, regardless of what platform they're in. The best response I've had by far to a piece of marketing, which is not what it really was, but it's the best response I've ever had in a business, from a business audience, from an email that I've sent, personal replies about life and death and the emotions that people were feeling. And that's how this sort of new, this sort of like deeper connection that's coming through from these social platforms is just changing the whole approach to how I communicate. I can see it across I can see it in other people's communications as well. And I just want to emphasize really that it's not just Snapchat and Instagram that actually you can tell your story. It's kind of like by doing it on one platform, it actually feels right to do it in other places as well, because it's your personal brand. It's that consistent message. If I'm sharing like really personal stuff or really getting into the thick of it on Snapchat, and then someone goes to Instagram and sees just a bunch of business quotes, it's not consistent, is it? It's like trying to embrace that whole approach to everything in the whole way that you communicate. I don't know if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think so, absolutely. And in a funny way, email is actually similar to Snapchat because, yeah, you can send out an email to many people. You can do a Snapchat story, but it's also very one-to-one because the replies will be just in private.
Yeah, and the funny thing about email is that people dismiss email. Email's dead. You're not getting like, you're getting sort of like 20% open rates or even lower than that. But email's in some respects better than social media now. I mean, the reach on social has been throttled as well to like 2-4%. If I send out a question to my audience right now and I put it on two platforms, one Facebook business page, Twitter, doesn't matter which one it is, and I say something like, hit reply and let me know what your biggest challenge is with content marketing and I'll help you, right? I will get 25 replies by email and I'll be lucky if anybody sees it on Facebook and Twitter, right? That's, you know, that's the level we're getting to now. So, and with email, people have to delete it. You know, it's there in their inbox until they move it. With social, they could just not be on that platform at that moment in time and miss the message entirely. So I think that email has got a huge opportunity in 2016 for people. It's still one of the best ways to sell stuff as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, especially if you have products to sell, then I think emails are unbeatable.
Absolutely.
So let's talk technology. What are some of the tech selection considerations? So tools, apps and so on. What should we be using for content marketing and social in general?
Content marketing, social in general, when it comes to technology, well, there's so many
Just give us your favorites.
I'll tell you what, I'll open up my iPhone, I'll look at my homepage on my iPhone, right? Slack is by far the most popular app that I use on my iPhone. Yep. And after that, it's Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook. Those are the apps that I'm using on a day-to-day basis, I would say. When it comes to technology, I think that the one application that really sort of like is a foundation or something that we just use every day without even thinking about it is Buffer. Buffer is just like there, doing its job for us, curating content and getting it out onto our social channels. So I would say that it's almost like that's it's a forgotten app. But the reason I've forgotten about it is because it's made me redundant in some or there's some redundancy there, which is awesome, right? So Buffer, if anyone's in the social media space, has probably heard of Buffer. But if you use it properly, it's a fantastic app. And it's very, very affordable and it works very, very well.
And what about for website technology? Would you recommend WordPress and also emails? What is the best provider for that?
Yeah, from a technology perspective there, WordPress, hands down. We've worked with so many other CMS systems and WordPress is not perfect, but it's better than pretty much every other CMS that's out there.
Yeah.
And it's very familiar and easy to use. So yeah, definitely recommend using WordPress for your website, especially if you're looking at the long term, you know, and if you need help with development, most people can use WordPress and help you with it. Email, we're using ConvertKit at the moment. That's what we moved over from MailChimp to ConvertKit recently in the last sort of 6 months, four months ago. But we still use MailChimp for our clients as well. So yeah, email marketing software, very affordable, definitely worth investing in.
Just out of interest, what made you switch away from MailChimp to, was it ConvertKit?
ConvertKit. Yeah. So we moved over. It's influenced, like Pat Flynn is one of the big advocates of ConvertKit recently. He was one of their sort of like bigger early adopters. But the reason that I moved over, like it's painful to move email marketing platform, right? Because you've got all your segmentation, you've got all your history there, all your open, all that kind of stuff. Very painful move. The reason we did it was because ConvertKit is built upon a certain philosophy. MailChimp is very, I think they've got legacy stuff there. They're trying to change the way they do things in MailChimp, but the way that they built it from the very start is around broadcasting emails, so sending out one-off broadcasts to your audience. ConvertKit's built on the philosophy of never ever sending another broadcast email almost. That's kind of like what they're trying to get out to people and trying to build more sequences, tagging, and being able to segment your audience really, really easily through tag, what they call tags and segmentation. It is so simple to use. It's like a breath of fresh air when you use the platform. It's very simple. It's simple email as well. There's no email templates like MailChimp because you don't need them anymore. And it's all about trying to make sure that you're using email in the right way, which is every time someone gets an email from you, from your business, it should feel like they're getting it from a friend, you know, and it's trying to emphasize this personalization of, again, it comes kind of back to what we've been talking about already. But yeah, the ConvertKit's like a breath of fresh air. It's so simple to use. It's browser-based and it does everything you need it to do and more. But it does it in a very, very simple, clean way.
Great. So ConvertKit. Okay. Yeah, we've just changed about 45,000 subscribers over to Constant Contact, which we're happy with. It's perhaps a little bit clunkier than MailChimp, but the deliverability is so much better.
Yeah.
So I think
you have to move over for the reasons that are best for you. I mean, there's so many. There are like you could list a dozen email marketing platforms.
Yeah.
And if you could have, I mean, you could have 10 people in a room and them all be on the different one, but the principles are still the same. But you definitely have to do it for your type of business, because there are businesses that would benefit from using MailChimp and not ConvertKit, and vice versa. So it's just kind of trying to make sure that you're doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah. Okay, great. Chris, give us three brands that inspire you on social and digital. That could be people or companies.
Yeah, sure. Like, that's really easy for me. I mean, I watch Casey Neistat's videos on YouTube every single day, right? Yeah. He's like, the quality, the inspiration there is just amazing. Like, that, I look at that and I think, how is this even possible for him to do this on a daily basis? But he gets it done, and he's a super nice guy. And another New York person as well, Gary Vaynerchuk, watch his videos more and like really enjoying his Daily V stuff just now. But again, he inspires me across all channels, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and his video stuff as well on YouTube. And I guess I was trying to think of a recent example. Like, it was good. It's a really good question you asked, because like, well, what brands do inspire me? And you know what? It's people. It is always people. And it's a strange one that I like the idea of being able to see into people's life. But Joe Wicks, the body coach, if you've heard of him recently, he's a real inspiration, a very recent sort of case study in content marketing, and his story is really, from anyone that's in business and thinking about social media and content marketing, he's someone to definitely to sort of dig into his story.
And what's the best brand out of Scotland, apart from your own, of course?
The best brand in Scotland?
Yes, on social.
Jeez, that's such a tough question. I remember asking someone else this question about a year ago, saying to them, like, who's really owning social in Scotland? Like, who's really doing it really, really well? And it's like, nobody stands out as like being amazing. But it's funny, because someone mentioned this to me the other day, that, you know, sports teams do really well on social, I'm not a big sports fan, so I don't really follow football, for example, in Scotland. But there's a local team called Dunfermline Athletic. They're not like a great team at all. They're kind of like second league maybe or something like that. I don't even know where they are in the league, but my family support them. But they're doing amazing things with social media and Snapchat, and really trying to tell their story and embrace the fans and engage with their audience. And I think when you're looking at social media, I think a lot of the sports teams do really, really well. Baseball in America, for example, football in America. But in Scotland, it's really, I think there's space in Scotland for someone to really, really like own it, basically.
Great. Okay. Right. So final question, where can we learn more about yourself and the Content Marketing Academy? And also tell us about your conference.
Sure, yeah. And the best place, if you've got a question about anything that we've covered about today, is just to grab me on Twitter at ChrisMar101. And you can get me on all platforms with the same handle, Instagram, Snapchat, wherever. And yeah, thanks very much for asking about the conference as well. I mean, we, outside of London, I think we're building to have the best sort of content marketing conference in the UK. I know that there's just so much happening in London to even keep a track of. But we've got Mark Schaefer, Anne Handley, Amy Schmitter coming over from America this year. We've got about 14 speakers at our conference. It's a two-day event based in Edinburgh on the 2nd and 3rd of June. It's called the Content Marketing Academy. And it's really a marketing conference for business owners. That's our primary aim, is to get business owners there to help them to become better marketers for their business, basically. And we're really going heavy in on the content marketing. Every year is like a step deeper into content. So this year it's all about blogs and podcasts and video, and we've got experts from all over the world. I mean, Mark Schaefer is one of the most well-known marketers in the world. I mean, he's written some of the best books on marketing. So we're really trying to bring access to Scotland, you know, and the UK and Europe as well, to be honest. I mean, people will travel all over for this conference, to bring people here that just never normally get the opportunity to come to Scotland, and give access to people and business people in the UK to people that they just never would normally get that level of access to. So it's called the Content Marketing Academy. If you just search for that on Google, you'll find it. The Content Marketing Academy 2016.
Great. And Edinburgh is a wonderful place to visit as well.
Absolutely.
So it's a good choice.
Yeah, that's why we chose it. Exactly. Yeah.
Chris Moore, many thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Right. So when's the last time you let your content go? Let it run free. Just like Elsa sings, let it go. I'm not going to attempt to sing it, but my oldest daughter, she does sing it enough around my house. sometimes perhaps we have to let content go, Instagram and Snapchat style. Just thinking about this, actually, I syndicate this podcast to a few different sites, which these sites don't actually drive traffic back to our site, linkhumans.com. But on balance, I think it's a good thing because it finds a different audience, another people who are interacting with the content. So if you already produced content, why not stick it in a few different places where other people might discover it, and if they find it interesting, they'll click back. So just like with Snapchat or Instagram, if you like someone on there, you're likely to follow them in other places and perhaps sign up to a newsletter or download an ebook and enter that funnel. Right, I just want to say a big thank you to our producer, Matthew McLean, for teeing up this interview with his fellow Scot, Chris, by the way. And thank you very much for that. Many thanks for tuning in, and I will catch you all next week. Shinixon.
Thank you for listening to Social Media Know-How with your host, Jorgen Sundberg of Link Humans. For show notes and more, go to linkhumans.com/podcast and check out the hashtag SM Know-How.
So my words of wisdom are really simple, and it comes back to mastery, or trying to be the best at what you do. And it's a simple concept, really. You can approach something, or it's a combination of approaching something or a project or anything that you do in life, either to do the best you can do, right? So a lot of people say that I'm going to do the best I can, or do it the best it can be done, okay? And then it really comes down to you learning and teaching yourself, or self-education. So if you approach something the best you can do, you're really operating within the boundaries of your own knowledge and experience that you have at this time. But if you approach something in the way, in the best it can be done, you naturally have to break through your current knowledge, a level of knowledge and experience, to learn something new, to do it better than you did it yesterday, or to be better than the person you were yesterday, and to do it better than anybody else. I mean, why approach any project or go into business for yourself if you're not going to try and be the best? So mastery is a combination of doing the best you can and doing the best it can be done.